Greetings, everyone. I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Greetings, and welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I am your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
We're live. It's a Tuesday. It's going up, and we're about to get into some podcasting. The official weapon of the show is
the phone chair,
and the unofficial sport
bullet ball. I think about that sometimes, y'all.
All the time. And bullet ball extreme.
Yes.
We're just here to do some podcasting real quick, you know, to get in here and coming at you a little bit early. Some of y'all are getting off work, some of y'all are in traffic listening to this live. Don't look at the screen, okay? Keep your heads on the 10 and the 2, okay?
Yeah, listen to us. And in fact, you focus on us, you forget about the traffic, hopefully.
Yeah, we're going to take you away, okay? Don't touch that dial.
it's got jam on it.
Karen, do you have any banter?
Uh-uh.
Karen has been, you've been banterless lately.
Yes, I need to start writing shit down, because that's the thing I don't write down and I forget.
All right, well, you know what? I guess I'll have to carry us again,
guys. Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Got a couple things I wanted to talk about. The first one is, when I run for president, my platform is going to be either charge more for all flats or charge more for all drums, but you can't charge more for both.
I feel you on that one.
I'm Rob
Morrow.
If it's
mixed.
And I approve this message.
I approve this message too.
That's such bullshit.
Right.
Like, what? Which one is supposed to be better, restaurant? Like, pick one. Like, they don't have any other upgrades like that, you know? Was like, oh, if you want all celery or all carrots, then it's $2. No, you get celery and carrots. They don't give a fuck about that. Dip them in ranch.
Shit, sometimes you only get the option. This bitch, whatever we got, that's what you get. Because yeah. I got something they don't even ask you. You get the celery or the ranch. They don't even ask you what you want.
But that's what I'm saying. If they made it an option, they wouldn't be like, and here's $2 more.
Bitch, no.
Nothing else is like this. Nothing else is like this but this motherfucking chicken wings, and I'm goddamn sick of it, and it feels a little bit racist if we want to be honest with it, okay?
That in a Chinese restaurant when they be shrimp, sometimes you go $1, $2, $3 shrimp.
No, that's extra shrimp. It's not the same.
I'm saying the quantity doesn't change. Okay,
nothing changes
you.
About the fucking wings except the shape of the wings.
I'm with you.
Which,
yes.
Which one is the $2 more? You're not really making sense when you do that. It's like, oh, shit. No, oh, it's all flats. Well, you know, flats are running high these days at the grocery store. No, it's just a fucking different piece of the wing. Either go $2 for flats. $2 extra if you want all flats. And just leave it at that. $2 extra if you want all drums. Leave it at that. But if you want it for both, now that's just fucking corporate capitalistic greed. And that's the real problem with America. And I feel like Democrats and Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, we can all come together on this platform, which is we need to make the chicken wing surcharge stop. Okay?
Yeah, I do agree with that. Cause I know they used to do that. They used to do like particularly at bars. I remember going in and they'd be like, "Hey, if you want all flats, it's an extra charge." You want?
They still do it. What do you mean used to do it? I was ordering wings today, and it was like $2 if you want all flats, $2 if you want all drums. It's 2024. The chicken wings already cost more than they ever cost. What the fuck are you charging me for? It ain't. It's not like it take you an extra 30 minutes to find all the flats. Like, oh, I got to go into the fucking line, the wizard, and the wardrobe, go to another land, fight a couple of hobbits, and then come back with the fucking flats.
Yeah, they do that because
it's in the same bag, man.
Yeah, they do that because they don't want to pick them out. Yeah.
Because they don't want to pick them out. It takes one. It don't take long. Mm-mm. What am I paying for real? Because you know what? Here's why I know it's bullshit. Let's say somebody called today up to the wing place and they said, yo, I want to buy every flat in the joint. I will pay the extra $2. I want all the flats in this wing place. They would sell it to them. They charge them an extra $2 per however many flats, right? Mm-hmm. I call up there afterwards. They ain't got no flats. They got drums. They got nothing but drums. I say, give me 10 wings. It's all drums, right? They don't have a choice with it for it to be all drums.
They don't. Upshot.
You know what they won't do? That's going to be $2 more. We only got drums.
No.
So what the fuck are you charging me for?
Yeah, they're not going to do that because that's all they have, right?
This is bullshit, and we as a society need to stand up, okay? I didn't land on Purdue Rock. Purdue Rock landed on us. We being bamboozled.
We are. Good wing. I do agree.
Led astray.
With the wings. I think they got accustomed to the wings being high, and they don't want to give up that charge, you know, because the cost of wings, they still high, but they've come down a lot because they almost just be a fucking dollar wing or more.
And the wings are already pre-cut.
Right.
Nice try, Nicole. Nice try. But this ain't the Chinese spot where the wings really be like a whole chicken wing, mm-hmm. even with the little piece on it.
Nice try, Nicole.
I've worked in the restaurants before. I've seen it with my own eyes. They already pre-cut.
They are, yeah.
You ain't don't doing nothing but dipping them in the grease, player, and you gonna try to play me for $2 more. That's bullshit. And if we take a stand together, M. Nicole, We can all do it, but if people like you be like, well, maybe it's just they couldn't. If you keep making excuses, we're going to keep getting put over a barrel. This is bullshit. And the fucking price
we all benefit for cheaper wings.
Let's stand together, okay? I think this is a unifying thing. I could bring this to Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and they both be like, I agree with this. That's how unpolarizing what I'm saying is, okay? Mitch McConnell would be like, damn, that's a good point. And then he'd be like, now get your black ass out of my office. And I'd be like, oh, that's right. Forgot for a second, Mitch. The other thing I'm excited about is I figured out a life hack on this motherfucking colon prep. Now, the thing is, I have to stay away from what my nutritionist had me doing simply because almost every single food on that nutritionist list.
I don't understand. Everything is like
opposite. I do understand.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand completely. You can't have stuff that's stuck in your bowels, and so fiber and stuff is roughage. It cleans out your bowel, but it stays in there longer. So you can't do brown rice.
I get you. It's like all the healthy stuff. They're like, can't eat none of that because that's the shit to help you move.
Yeah, and it's fine. It's fine. It's just for a few days. Right. It's just really like a couple of days. And I want to make sure that I have the easiest time possible.
Right.
So the problem is they just tell you all the shit you can't eat. You can't eat this. You can't eat that. You can't eat this. You can't eat that. And it's fucking frustrating because it's like I got to look up and Google everything before I'm like, can I drink some of this ginger ale? You can drink that. Okay, but not the day before. Okay, cool. Day before, nothing but water and broth, vanilla ice cream, popsicles if you can find one that ain't red, blue, or green. And let me tell you, they all are.
That's the primary colors. All them bitches is like red, orange, purple, green, every color you can't eat.
Why we don't have adult popsicles, I don't know.
Me either.
I tried to see if you could do fudge sickles, and I might be able to do fudge sickles, but I just said gave up. I said, I don't, I'm scared.
Right.
I don't want no problems. I definitely don't want to have to do this shit twice. No pun intended. So let me just let me just do whatever they say to do. But here's the thing. I reversed it and started Googling. I said, let me just Google if I'm Googling stuff I can't eat, what the fuck can I eat? And, you know, I found a bunch of stuff that I could eat, you know, that I could make at home. But then life hack, I was looking at the stuff you can eat. And if you add up the ingredients together, pizza. Mm. I can eat pizza. So I just bought a big ass pizza. And I'm just eating that for the next 2 days, and then it's the liquid diet. it don't have none of the stuff. It said, as long as you don't have none of the vegetables and all that shit, all the healthy good shit that you really don't want on your pizza anyway. It's the stuff we put on the pizza to fool ourselves.
Like, I know the trick ourselves. No, but it's drier than grease, so it defeats the purpose.
Oh, yeah, you know, bell pepper. It's healthy. You know, put some bell pepper next to the sausage, ham, pepperoni, and beef, and yeah, it's healthy. So I just got like a pepperoni pizza. And I'm just gonna eat on that, and then of course the day before the procedure, you literally just clean your system, so I won't be eating anything but anything of substance, I guess. And yeah, so that was good news for me. I was like, finally, fuck. And if you look, because when you look at what you can eat, it's dairy, white, anything flour, rice, corn flakes, Rice Krispies,
you do potatoes.
Potatoes that have no skin on them.
Okay, so like
mashed potatoes. Okay. I guess maybe French fries, but I didn't dare because I was scared which ones have it.
Right.
Yeah, Miss Barnes, you don't know about this, you girl. You better Google. You gotta look this up, man. Everybody, you know, when you get to a certain age, that I think 45 now, they saying you should go get one. So you know, be on the lookout.
It was 50. Yeah, but they pushed.
They
it
moved
down.
It down. Yeah, because people been getting it younger and younger. So yeah. What, you had one last year? And you didn't know that. What did you do? You ain't follow the directions. How do you even know you don't? You wasn't scared. I've been following these directions like shit. I'm gonna know this for the rest of my life. You can ask me this shit again in 2097. I'm gonna be
that's
like, listen,
hilarious.
Don't do this, this, and this. I can't believe you didn't know this. Anyway, so yeah, pizza. It's a life hack, and I'm definitely gonna. I'm definitely fitting to remember this pizza next time, because damn, I was stressed out and I was like, oh, pizza, that's the simplest food. Like, just fucking eat that. The last thing I want to do is not really a banter thing. It's just a thing that I think is so funny and I can't get it off my mind. I'm like, I want to watch this again and we can watch it as a family. But do y'all remember the little girl at daycare that was in timeout? That was talking about these kids.
This little girl
stays on my mind. She is so funny.
Oh, she's hilarious. You can tell she's been around a lot of old people.
Huh, Karen?
You can tell she's been around a lot of old people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she got put in time out, and she was fed up.
Fed up with everybody.
Look.
Well,
you
in time out.
Look. My bracelet came off.
I'll put it back on.
That's a different kid.
You in timeout.
There's no excuse.
You supposed to be back in timeout. I didn't say get out. You and Jayla in timeout.
Well, let me tell you this, Linda.
My name ain't Linda.
Now, the fact that this woman's name is not Linda. I don't know where Linda came from. I don't know how this child decided she was Linda.
She done fell out with Linda somewhere.
I don't know why she ignored that this woman's name ain't Linda.
That baby did not care.
But the spirits was in her to be like, I'm named, God called you Linda today.
So you sit right there and time out, little bad little girl.
No, let me tell you something.
No, don't tell me.
If I was in here, I would surely take a day off. From you, and then a day off from these kids.
Amen. Okay. How many parents could agree?
She said, from you and these kids. I was like, yeah. Somebody told that to that baby a many a days.
I'm surprised she didn't say these damn kids.
Right?
She was talking. She said, I'll take a day off. Not I would quit. I would take a day off.
I need
off.
A break.
And I relate. So how many times you been at work? Like, I would take a day off.
I'm in the classroom. I'm just done with you.
I'm done with you too, but you in time out.
Oh, let me tell you something, honey. This is not me.
You're gonna be in time out?
Oh.
That's why you in time out right
I'm
now.
I'm sick still.
I think so.
This is absolutely why I'm glad we didn't have kids. And not for the reason that y'all are thinking, or even probably even the reason Karen is thinking. I'm glad I didn't have kids because I find this shit so adorable. And I know this kid is being bad. And the right thing to do is put him in timeout and make him behave.
It's probably really hard to keep a straight face when the kid is doing something that's hilarious. And because you don't want to encourage the behavior.
I just want to pick her up and hug her and be like, oh, girl, stop playing. You crazy. You are crazy. What is wrong with you? Stop playing. You too funny. And then people be like, that's why your kid is school acting stupid, disrupting the class. Because we call you down here, you see the video, you be like, that's adorable. Why is everyone mad?
I don't see the problem.
Have y'all posted this to Facebook yet? This is a million hits right here.
Well, when I get up out of town and go to bed, I will be glad to go home and enjoy the rest of my life.
Rest of her. Baby, is you even 5? You know you're going to be here tomorrow, little girl.
What is
happening?
Why is she somebody grandmama reincarnated already? The spirit is speaking through her, okay? This is the spirit of like a 90-year-old black lady just talking through her.
Hilarious.
She said.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if I was something like this and I was a little girl. I bet you ask my mama, she probably tell me this. Like, and also for me, my facial expressions gave me away. Like, my mama would look at me half time and could tell what I was thinking, even if I ain't opening my mouth.
And the caption said go to there, but I thought it sounded like she said go to bed to me. She said it's like something.
You in timeout right
I'm
now?
I'm 6 still.
I think so.
Well, when I get up out of town and go to bed, I will be glad
she said
to go home and enjoy the rest of my life.
The rest of my little short life.
Her eyes are hurt. The way she's rolling her neck, man. I'm sorry.
The whole 3 years I've been here is the rest of my life.
Don't never let me take care of y'all kids. Y'all gonna be like, was they bad? When I'm gonna be like, I don't know. I had a fucking blast.
We had a blast playing video games.
We went to the movie. She disrupted the entire fucking movie. She was on stage dancing at the concert. It was crazy.
And you know what? I bet you that's why when Layla was small, she used to love to fucking hang with us, because she would ask me simple stuff and I'd be like, I don't care. She'd be like so surprised. Like I was riding with her later one time and she was like, can I eat your car? I looked back, I was like, baby, I don't care. She was like, oh, okay. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I love it.
That's my life. And I completely quit school because all of you.
Quit school.
Well, let me tell you this, Linda.
I feel kind of like I know she's not right because she's obviously the one in timeout, and the adult is recording this and saying like you wrong. But I didn't see that part. I do feel like she might be right. Like maybe them kids did get on her damn nerves.
The last one.
She finally said something, and then motherfucking Miss Linda over here put her in timeout. Like she don't agree. You know them kids bad, Linda.
Somebody said this child know how to make some good cabbage. Yes, and pinto beans and lima beans. The little girl make cornbread from scratch.
She can start her own daycare and keep the kids.
She'll do no jiffy. Mm-mm.
Well, let me tell you this, Linda.
My name ain't Linda. So you sit right.
Okay, they just running it back. But anyway, I love this. And I saw this again the other day because my YouTube suggested it to me. And I laughed like I had never seen it before. And I just had to run it back with y'all. I needed y'all to see it too. Because this motherfucking kid is adorable. And she can do no wrong in my book. Now look, it's been years since the video came out. She could be in jail right now. I don't know
that. Yeah,
she
could have
done 7 drive-bys and I would have never seen it coming. I'm like, she was so adorable as a child, and y'all be like, no, she was pretty much a troublemaker that stayed in timeout, disrupted the class and disrespected the teacher.
I would be
like,
shocked
what?
Too, right?
She did what?
I can't believe this. Why y'all lying on that baby?
Now, you know she wouldn't have did it. Now, Jayla might have did it. Jayla was over there being quiet the whole time. You know, you can't trust the quiet ones.
The quiet ones will fuck you up.
But this baby was fine. I don't know what she did wrong. All right, that's all my random stuff. Let's get into the show. Psycho. Music. We'll be right back. like that beat flip, Psycho Music. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. Good Life Remastered is what that was called. All right. Let's talk about news. Beyonce says criticism of 2016 CMA's performance inspired Cowboy Carter album. I did not feel welcomed.
Let's go.
Yep.
Yes, because the way they treated her was horrible. And you could feel the energy of them just not wanting her there at all. Mm-hmm. And was like, well, I guess we'll allow you here because you are with the chicks and we was, you know, type of thing. But it's not like they were welcome. You know what I mean? Not like that particular crowd was very welcoming to her.
Yeah, she said this album has been over 5 years in the making. She wrote on Instagram alongside cover art for her new project. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago when I did not feel welcome, and it was very clear that I wasn't. She said because of that experience, she did a deeper dive into the history of country music. See, this is the thing about Beyonce, dog. This shit is like cutting Michael Jordan from the fucking... the high school basketball team. You made a monster because she don't ever come to just be hanging around and be one of the ones and hanging with everyone. She always comes to be like, and I'm finna run this, I'm finna dominate this, my sales and my listening streams about to be crazy, y'all gonna have to acknowledge this when it is time for the next CMAs. If my name ain't up there, we motherfucking ride at dawn, so don't get your motherfucking shit burned down trying to freeze me out. Mm-hmm. All because y'all couldn't have just not been dicks when she was up there with the chicks.
Yeah, that's all it was. And I don't know if this was in her documentary or somebody was talking to like somebody that background sing for her. But they were saying how meticulous she is. They said she was so meticulous. One time they were performing and she looked at her and she asked her, she said, "What type of mic is that?" And she was like, "I don't know." She said, "Anytime you perform, you need to always know what type of microphone you have." She said, "Because the type of microphone you have will determine how you pitch and how far you hold it from your face and how you sing into it and what kind of sound system you use." And the singer was like, "I was just so amazed." She said she could literally tell you, if she has a microphone in her hand, she could tell you the make, the model, where it came from, how expensive it is. I was like, God damn. She was like, and it challenged me to be more detailed and pay more attention to the small things around me.
Yeah, I just know that she's coming for their necks. I hope people get on board with it. I also like that she said it's 5 years in the making, because just because she announces stuff as surprises to us, people start treating that shit like she, like the way people talked about her putting those two singles out, it was like, "Oh, this ain't even country music. What she know about country music? See, this was, she just throwing the stuff out there." And it's like, no, she's not. She never throw. How many years long alive do we have to be watching this woman to know she don't do shit on a whim?
Mm-mm.
It's always planned. It's always meticulous. I always say she is a fucking marketing genius.
Yes, she is.
Her and Rihanna, by the way. But they are both fucking geniuses at this shit. They changed the game the way they do stuff, and people be following them blueprints forever. And so, yeah, I have to give her credit for that. But the idea that she just, "I guess I'll do country this week," crazy to me that y'all thought that. As she's announcing, the album will be out in like March. You know what I mean? So you know there's more coming. Everyone's getting excited. Dolly Parton has been spilling the secrets. I guess she too big for NDA. She said that... she got word that Beyonce and them got permission to perform Jolene. So she's like, "I think Jolene gonna be on the album."
Like, I hope it is.
And knowing fucking, who knows? Knowing fucking Beyonce and Dolly, she fuck around, be on the song. Who knows?
Yeah, would not be surprising if she on that bitch.
Yeah, I don't put nothing past them. And keeping in mind that people, I remember when this happened at the CMAs. Black people, a lot of them were like, "Beyonce need to come out with a country music album." And not just out of like revenge, but also just on some like, yo, she fit right in. She performed. Mm-hmm. Daddy Lessons is a bop. I'd love a whole album of Daddy Lessons.
Right.
And so she was clearly thinking the same shit as us. I don't know why people act like she does it on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
She says, it feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating on our musical history. The criticisms I faced when I first entered this genre forced me to propel past the limitations that were put on me. Act Two is a result of challenging myself and taking my time to bend and blend genres together to create this body of work. That's the other thing I think, too. I don't think she's trying to give you a straight up old school reductive country album. That would not be Beyonce. And I think as many people claim they want to hear that, it's because they don't really have imagination. And this is the thing about like building that, you know, yellow brick road, building that rainbow. Ain't nobody got the blueprint for it. Ain't nobody ever done it before. And so when she steps into something like this, I feel like you're going to get a collaboration of not just different artists, but different sounds. I don't think it's going to sound just like, I don't think it's going to sound more country than Beyonce. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it'll be country, but I think you're going to get rapping. You're going to get some cussing. You're going to get hurt. And I feel like that's part of your duty as an artist is still to do you, bring you to the shit. Cause, I remember I was listening to Bomani talk about this and he didn't like the cursing on some of the country or whatever, but you know, he'll get over that. But what I thought was interesting is I also remember a long time ago, Bomani didn't like Childish Gambino's Awaken My Love because he felt that it was just like a mimic. Like, oh, this is you mimicking P-Funk and other funk artists and putting out an album that is essentially just kind of what they did, but you just kind of almost did a cover of it, you know. And this is not to denigrate that album or not. That's just Bomani's opinion. It's not even a shot at Bomani. It's just his opinion. But I'm saying Beyonce and people like that have to be aware of that critique. If you do a slim down, trim down, no muss, no fuss country album, you're going to get a lot of people being like, yeah, so this is just imitating what's existed already. And also as an artist, it's not that fun.
I can see it not
like,
being fun.
Make some new shit. Like I want rap on my country album. You know, I do want some cussing on my country album. I do want to blend it with pop and funk and all that stuff. I can't wait to see what she does with it, you know, especially because a lot of that's been happening in country music for a minute anyway.
Yeah, country has slowly been evolving. And what a lot of people fail to realize, particularly people that don't really listen to country music, they don't know what current country music sounds like. And all their references to country music is very old school. So they come in going, ain't it going to be like this? And everybody's like, nah, they on something else now. They still have that genre of country. But, you know, younger and younger people are doing it. They're blending it with rap. They're blending it, you know, with all types of genre. They talk about blinging. They talk about all types of shit outside of kind of the old school thing. And for some people, I think it's a shock to their system.
I hope she had the Dixie Chicks back on.
I do too. I hope she has the Dixie Chicks. Yeah, I hope she has
Donna. I hope she have them back on. I hope she got everybody on this shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so
everybody named Mama. And like you said, it's one of those things where she's a student of her craft. And so when they was like, when you just read, she was like, oh, I went and I studied. I was like, ain't no telling who she gonna pull out, because you know she probably went way back and was like, oh, you still alive, come on out here and do something with me.
Who knows, man? Right? I can't wait to see what she do. You know, speaking of music, there was this thing where we talked about it yesterday about J-Lo and her concerts and stuff, and someone wrote in overnight to be like, you know, I kind of disagree with what y'all saying. I don't think it's that people are that I think it's just kind of J-Lo and that people do go to concert. Live music is doing well and it's not an industry wide thing. It's just a kind of a J-Lo thing. I'll read it. Matter of fact, I should read it now. Listening to y'all talk about J-Lo had to cancel concerts. I kind of disagree with y'all about this being an industry-wide thing. I've actually gone to more concerts since the pandemic, and a lot of people I know are too. I think J-Lo probably just overestimated how well she was going to sell, but just about every show I've been to in the past year has been sold out. I think for many, or at least for me, the pandemic made me appreciate shows a lot more once I could go to them again. Granted, I usually go to small to medium-sized venues, but even the large ones often sell out. Usually more often than before, they used tickets to. Some might not sell out till the day of. Some sell out immediately, depending on how popular the artist is. But the live music scene is crazy popular right now. Now, I don't have the numbers to back this up, just my personal observation. And I live in a city with tons of live music, but I honestly think J-Lo just must have booked venues too big for her draw. And I was like, you know, it's kind of hard to disagree with what we were saying, because I think we were just kind of wondering out loud. We never really specifically said, you know, this is because of the industry, but just like maybe people stay at home because if it's not a big name, they're not going out. Maybe it's she overestimated her reach. But, you know, we brought up Tyla, who was also having some low ticket sales before, you know, she said her injury caused hers to drop. We've seen it before with other artists too. It could be an individual thing, but it made me, this email made me go Google this article. And this is from Business Insider, and it's 9 minutes long, so I'm not gonna read the whole thing. But it's in the economy section, and it's from last year. This is June 8th, 2023. It's not just Taylor Swift. Musicians describe the diminished struggle of touring in a shrinking industry where one giant company sells the tickets for most major venues.
Ticketmaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, or as I call them, Ticketmaster.
Yeah, I could see that. A lot of artists have had problems with Ticketmaster, and also it's one of the things, because of their fees and things like that, some artists are like, if they want to sell their tickets, some of them are like, I want to sell them individually. So, you know, because everybody talking about, why the cost so high? Why the cost so high? That's because most of your venues are run through Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster had these fees on top of fees on top of fees on top of fees. And the artists have no control over those fees. And they add to the cost of the overall tickets. And so a lot of times, and Ticketmaster has been sued for being a bully. Like, they'll bully people into using them. They'll be like, well, if, you know, you won't use us as your primary place, we just won't allow our artists to go there. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. So it's like they make it where people have to use Ticketmaster. If you realize most places you go through is some form of a tick. If it's not Ticketmaster, it's some form of a large electronic digital type of platform, or either it's third hand, which is up, which is a lot more higher. And so a lot of the artists have been complaining about that. And because of that, in some genres, and also I think this may be regional, depending on where you are in the country. For some people, they go, well, I don't got the extra coins. Like, I'll pay the extra fees for Beyonce, but I'm not paying them extra fees for this person and that person and this person and that person. I just refuse.
And so the other part of it is tour is a money thing. You invest money and then you recoup the money on the sales coming back. But with Ticketmaster fees and resellers, where you don't get any of the money off of the fees or the resale, artists a lot of times are fighting tooth and nail to make a profit. So what it takes to be profitable and to put on a show and a tour, it's like if it's not a sellout tour, there's no middle in the so. Just low ticket sales, because you know you're going to get people the day of, but just low ticket sales enough to be like, we can't risk that. Right. Cadence Weapon lost $2,000 going on tour in the U.S. last year. That's one reason the critically acclaimed Canadian rapper, writer, and activist whose given name is Rolly Pemberton is sounding the alarm on how industry practices are leaving artists in the lurch with stagnant pay, cuts out of ticket and merchandise sale, and limited venue options. And so that's the other thing, because of the pandemic, most middle of the road venues, they closed.
They did. So a lot of those smaller ones. Yeah.
The options are not there anymore for artists to be like, I can't sell out a stadium. I'm not going to sell out an arena, but maybe I could do like a playhouse. Maybe I could do
like a smaller venue.
And something a little more intimate. Well, the intimate spaces had the least amount of margins to make money.
Right.
And even after the pandemic, there were people excited to go back out, but it wasn't enough people. It wasn't a forever thing. Just like, it's like how people went to, there were some movies where people were like, finally, we got vaccines. And then those movies made a lot of money. And then what happened with movies? Slowly it started trickling down and down and down and down. Because it's like, now we only leaving the house for Dune, you know, we're only leaving the house for blank, as opposed to, oh, we're back to normal. So I think we can be fooled by the normalcy. Now, of course, Linda was talking anecdotally and whatnot, but it did make me go look it up. And I think we've kind of stumbled onto it, which is, it's the financial aspect. It's not a I didn't gauge my listener basis. I can only perform in this place, if we don't get more ticket sales than we anticipate, we can't even fucking do this. You know? So I don't know. It made me think about that. This was last year during Taylor Swift and Beyonce that this article came out being like, yeah, if you're not Taylor Swift and Beyonce, indie bands are just canceling shows. A slew of musicians have canceled shows due to what the indie band Animal Collective described as an economic reality that simply does not work and is not sustainable when they called off their European tour. This is everywhere, not just America.
And that makes sense. Like you said, your middle to small to more intimate venues, like you said, the pandemic, some of them closed, they never reopened. You know, some of them reopened, but they probably had to morph and do other shit, which means if they have dates open, they probably are very limited in their dates, because now we're booking comedy, we're booking this, we're booking like other things where we normally would have had those dates open up for concerts.
Yeah, so it's just something I was thinking about, and it was like, oh, this will be a cool follow-up, because we were just speculating yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we still don't technically know. Now it's just informed more about this article that looked into it more than we did, because I'm like, yo, this J-Lo thing isn't a one-off. It's just I've been hearing more and more kind of anecdotally, like, this artist canceled some events. This artist canceled this. This tour is happening. This artist stopped touring. And you're like, damn, so we not back.
Yeah, and also it depends on, because when you talk about tours and artists, it depends on your taste in music. Like a lot of times with this article, it's just talking about probably music in general, like people touring like overall. But, you know, some people feel like, well, this genre hasn't changed. But if you look at it in its totality, a lot of the independent bands, most people, you know, depend on your taste in music, might not even know who they are. But they're still being impacted by this changing economy.
Obviously, but I think when we're talking about J-Lo, that's not a...
Oh no,
that's a fixture, and yes. I don't mean it in like, oh, because we all love her music. I mean, a person like J-Lo is a person before the pandemic could be like, I'm going on tour, and it wasn't like I'm a sellout. It was once people hear what happens is there's certain people that like going to see live music.
Yes,
and just like live comedy, comedians will tell you this now too. Just like live comedy, certain people I don't know who's going to be at the comedy club on Friday, but I'm going to check out the email and I'm probably going.
Child,
you know?
that'd be me sometimes.
That is not me anymore, okay? David Lucas is coming and Matt Rife is coming. Absolutely the fuck not. I said unsubscribe.
I'm not going to see them.
Nice try, Comedy Zone. Nice try. But but the thing is, it used to be people that just, hey, this is what I do. I go to the movies every Thursday. That's what me and Karen used to do. Mm-hmm. We don't do that as much anymore. Mm-mm. And I think that's just kind of what happened coming out of the pandemic. You had a boost at first of everybody being like, we're alive. Let's breathe on each other. And then everybody going, it's still here. And it's not that great. And maybe I won't come out the house for that anymore.
Right.
And maybe when I come out the house, it'll be because I'm going to France. Because I'm going to see,
like, it better be
Renaissance,
an event.
Because I'm going to see Taylor Swift, because I'm going to see some blockbuster movie,
I ain't going to be around people for no bullshit.
Yeah, I think that's what people might be at. That's just my guess though, and I'm sure we'll get an email telling us they disagree and we're wrong. Is selfie culture driving folks to cosmetic surgery? Let's see. This is from Health Day News. Anyway, the selfie culture on social media appears to be intensifying people's desire to undergo cosmetic procedures. A new study suggests time spent on Snapchat or Instagram. Snapchat? We still doing Snapchat?
Some people are.
The date does say March 7, 2024, so it is recent.
Yeah, people still use that.
Okay. I mean, if Tiana Trump ain't on there sucking dicks, what the fuck are y'all doing over there? But it seems to heighten a person's interest in such procedures. This is particularly true of folks who use filters and photo editing applications to alter their personal pictures they posted. While there are many factors that likely contribute to this, social media usage did likely increase the desire amongst a subset of patients to seek cosmetic procedures, concluded the research team led by senior researcher Dr. Neelam Vashi, an associate professor of dermatology at the Boston University School of Medicine. Patients also were more likely to want a cosmetic procedure if they followed celebrities and influencers on social media, or if they followed accounts of plastic surgery or dermatology clinics that showed the results of cosmetic procedures.
I wonder what age group they talking about. Did you say?
I haven't said yet, okay. But it does keep going, I guess. Oh, okay. I don't know in here or not. Mm-hmm. But one thing I will say is I don't think the age is that big of a difference. I think I got friends that think about getting cosmetic procedures or have gotten them. And I think a lot of that is because of the pressure from social media and the pressure from what we consume. I mean, we're all victims of whatever we consume. It's like if you watch reality TV all the time, everyone on there has had so much work done, even if they lie about it and fight about it. But they had work done, but it starts becoming a thing where it's like, if you haven't had work done, what the fuck is your problem? You need to get with it, okay? You don't come on here not looking like you have some fucking work done, or you can't be a real housewife of Potomac. Like, you a broke ass imposter, you know? And I think that matters.
Yeah, just that pressure. And particularly, is this all genders, or is just women, or?
I haven't finished reading it. Oh. I've read you everything so far that I could keep going.
No problem. And it is one of those things. Well, yeah, I can see that. Particularly when we started turning the camera towards us and we began to be the product, all of a sudden the product had to have filters, had to look a certain way. You have to, you know, be dolled up and all these other things, you know. And I think that pressure to, quote unquote, always be on and always be presented in a certain manner, because, you know, it's people, and if they can't put a filter on it, they're like, don't you turn that camera on. You know, type of things.
And the pandemic had us all stuck in the house, so we absorbed more social media than we were before. Mm-hmm. You see it now all the time. People, like, you have a birthday, and some people, you're not even going anywhere. And I just want to be clear. There's no shaming or stigma to what we're talking about.
Right.
This ain't us judging nobody. I'm just talking about what I've seen.
Same here. Yes.
But you'll see, like, people kind of do, like, an impromptu solo photo shoot of, like, this is 43, this is 35, or whatever. Because, like, that is what we saw celebrities doing for a long time.
Yes.
Difference being a celebrity has a motherfucking photographer and a budget and all this other
makeup
shit.
Makeup artist, y'all, hair person.
That we don't see. You know, some of my favorite people that I follow, Nafisa Williams, who used to be on Black Lightning. Dog, and she know how to, like, she got a whole fucking team. It's like wardrobe, locations, fucking photographers, fucking, like, editor. She got a whole team. She don't even hide it. But I think the pressure is kind of like having a podcast. The pressure with us two niggas with a microphone in a spare bedroom,
come on,
to sound like NPR or whatever quality, because when you listening to this or you listen to NPR, you ain't really... Your brain isn't going, well, cut them some slack. Your brain is like, I want to hear the same quality from them that I heard from the last podcast I listened to.
Don't matter the budget. Don't matter if they're working on shoestrings and chewing gum. I don't care. I want it to sound the same.
Right. And so I think the same thing kind of becomes true of the way we present.
Right.
And so the filters, we all know people, I'm sure, we all know people that they don't post a picture without a filter. You know, it's like they like anime characters. It's like boom, boom, sharpen the chin, da da da. And it's weird because the filter, to me, I feel like you can always tell when it's being used.
Yeah, I can tell.
But at the same time, I think people also are hard on themselves.
Yeah.
Someone leaves a critical comment because not everyone's your friend, even though they your friend on the social media.
Agreed.
Someone says something, you know, it's like we're doing a lot of stuff for each other. You're cropping dudes' photos out the head. You're putting smiley face on children and men on a vacation. You know, it's a lot of that. So we are constantly thinking about what other people are seeing. For example, study participants who follow social media accounts showing the result of cosmetic procedures rose from about 32% pre-COVID to 51% post-COVID.
Oof, because more people's in the house.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's a reason the BBL is the most dangerous surgery, but also one of the most prominent surgeries, where people know that you could die and people are still trying to get it because you look at those post-surgery accounts, you look at the IG models who had it and shit, and it looked like their life is better. They butt look better. You know, I'm sure they're not too many of them that are showing like this one was fucked up or whatever. And if they die, then you don't see them post no more. So right. You just move on. But I'm sure there's, you know, I'll see that happening because on Twitter and stuff, we're all on each other's timeline, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'll see women just kind of pull up somebody's butt or somebody's before and after and be like, oh, man, I got to get a doctor to get me like that. Or, you know, hey, I see why she did what she did. That looks good. Now, they're not going to pull up the ones that look like fucked up. But the successful ones are the ones that stick in our mind.
The successful ones, yes.
You know, some of our favorite rappers now, they done had the shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and we know that shit helped their career. Like, it was... where people were not checking for Nicki Minaj before she had that shit, you know? But at the same time, those contemplating the procedures also rose from 64% to 86%.
Oof.
While those who consulted with a doctor about the procedure rose from 44% to 68%. Overall, about 78% of participants post-COVID said they thought about a cosmetic procedure that they thought that it would help their self-esteem compared to 48% before the pandemic.
Yeah, because spending a lot of time online, particularly if you're deep into that, can really just, you have a screwed up version of reality and what you, the reality of things, because most people are normal looking. Most people don't look like superstars. They're not glamorous and all that stuff. But you let online tell you, and particularly you spend a lot of time on it, it's the appearance that everything is good, everything is better, everything is great based off of the appearance, you know. But most people in the world will go through the world looking normal, living the normal life and being fine. But that illusion draws us to it. And I can see it fucking up your self-esteem and things like that because you go, well, maybe, you know, if I do that, I will, quote unquote, get these better lives, get that man or whatever thing that you know, you want in life, you attach those things when that might not necessarily be the truth. You know, if it's something you want to do, do it because, you know, that's what you want to do.
Also, these are fuck. Hold on. It's Mike. Yo, 1, 2, 1, 2. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, NPR people that expect the NPR quality. also, these procedures are cosmetic, meaning they are visual, meaning that social media is a visual mechanism, especially stuff like Instagram. And so they look like they are having a better time than the quote unquote, as Karen put it, normal looking people. And so I think they're getting more dopamine hits. They're getting more comments. They're getting more likes. You're on their page. You're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all on there because we want to be seen and we want the dopamine hit and we want to be liked.
Right.
And so I think in your brain, subliminally, it becomes a, okay, so she got the face shit done. I got to get the face shit done. Look how it worked out for her. She got the ass. What is happening with this mic? I didn't touch anything.
I don't know. Is it just your mic that's doing
it? Yeah, it's
it?
Just mine. I think I have to buy another microphone. Fuck.
You might have to.
This wouldn't happen to Beyonce. She wouldn't have a Shure microphone acting up.
She sure wouldn't.
Shorting out for no fucking reason. But
somebody be losing their job.
Right. But yeah, anyway, I just think that it makes sense that it would affect people this way. And especially with the pandemic, which I've always said about the pandemic didn't change shit as much as it sped shit up. And I think we were already going this way before the pandemic with social media becoming so ubiquitous and us seeing so much of each other and seeing what people go through and how superficiality is essentially rewarded in a way. And I do think it has an effect on people. And I think there's something to this study. Now, that being said, I don't think people are actually getting cosmetic surgery so they can look like the filter.
No,
I really don't. I think people might get cosmetic surgery because they think I want to look better.
Right.
But I don't think they walk in there and go, make me look like I got cat ears or whatever the fuck, you know.
Mm-mm.
I don't think they're doing that. But, yeah, it's interesting. It definitely has accelerated things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, for me, I know, and it might be the same, but it's not. But I know for me, One of the reasons why I got braces and things was because, you know, and somebody would consider that a form of quote unquote cosmetic surgery because it's something that you can physically see. One of the reasons why I got it, because so I understand, because of self-esteem and just feeling a certain way when most people didn't care nor were they concerned about it. But it's just something mentally in my mind, and having family members consistently say something about it really bothered me, until the point where I became an adult and I was like, well, this is something I'm gonna get fixed. And then what was funny, when I got a fit, people talking about, you too old, I was like, bitch, this is what I want to do. And you know, that's how a lot of people feel, this is what I want to do. So you know, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Age has nothing to do, you know, with that, if it's something that you have decided that you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, people think Drake got fake abs. I mean, and there are people getting fake abs put in, men getting fake abs because they want to perform that kind of masculinity. Like, that you look at the men that are popular on social media. You go on motherfucking Alan Richardson's page, and it's 75,000 likes for him singing SWV. But part of the reason it's 75,000 likes is because he got cum gutters. So
yes, he does. He got like 1-2% body fat.
Right. Why do you think JL Covan's podcast is constantly about him trying to be ripped again? Okay.
That's his goal.
He's like, if I was ripped doing Donald Trump, I'd be swimming in it. But look at y'all now, what y'all can't like a chubby comedian? I got to be fucking svelte up in this bitch.
Yes sir.
That's what people want.
That's what they want. JL,
no one is wrong. They're not wrong that is happening.
Right.
I think it's weird to stigmatize people giving into it, because it's like, oh, you went and got surgery. That's why I didn't want this segment to be that, and it wasn't. Mm-mm. You know, that's why I was like, let's be careful, because I don't want to be like, man, shame on y'all falling for the algorithm. It's like, nah, that's kind of, life's like that anyway, but social media just accelerated that shit.
It did.
But yeah, well, this is the first study that really connected the coming out of COVID to all this stuff. I think it's important. This is kind of random. It's not really an article. I just thought this is like a experimental, possibly fun thing to do, which is someone on Twitter said, what is the most insane thing someone has said during an interview? And then people start quote tweeting it with links to interviews where people said insane things.
Oh, okay.
And I want to see some. This one is from our girl V Stiviano. Remember her?
Yes, I do.
She was Donald Sterling.
Yes.
The Clippers. He used to be the owner. He got busted having an affair with V Stiviano. She did a fucking sit down interview, I believe, with Barbara Walters, and the Levitar Show posted this clip. There's like 25.
Can you tell me what your relationship with Donald Sterling is?
I'm Mr. Sterling's right hand arm man.
What is a right hand arm man?
I have no number idea. One.
I'm Mr. Sterling's right hand man. I'm Mr. Sterling's right hand arm man. Is okay.
I'm Mr. Sterling everything. I'm his confidant, his best friend, his silly rabbit.
His what?
His silly rabbit.
His silly rabbit.
Yes.
Is that what he calls you?
No.
Can you?
Is that what he calls you? No. What does that mean, ma'am?
What does that mean? Barbara Walters said, what? His silly rabbit. His what? She was not having it. Head of the sexuals. I don't even know this interview. What is this?
Because if you my friend, bro, you just going to be real, fo. You ain't, first of all, me being friends with Remo, I would assume you are, what's the opposite of homosexual?
Heterosexual.
I would assume his ass is a hemosexual.
Uh-huh. What?
Hemo. I think he's a heterosexual.
He didn't. He meant to say heterosexual.
Yeah. You gotta listen. He didn't listen to the dude.
No, he did not.
He gave you the answer. You skipped right past that.
Sexual?
Heterosexual.
I would assume his ass is a hemosexual. Uh-huh. And he different. So if he was not a hemosexual.
You gotta say heterosexual.
ahead of the sexual. So
ahead of the sexual.
He was ahead of the sexuals, bro.
Not ahead of the sexuals.
I'm going to assume that you ahead of the sexuals and bro ahead of the sexuals, too.
That's good. Ahead of the sexuals.
I hope this is a comedy skit. I hope he's not walking through life with a brain that worked this way.
I'm already ahead of the sexuals. So I'm assuming everybody who hangs with me is ahead of the sexuals, bro. If you're not ahead of these sexuals, then your ass is a homosexual, and I need to know that you're a homosexual. So, because if
ahead of the sexuals,
that's hilarious.
Oh my God,
that's hilarious.
David Stern and Jim Rohn.
Was the fix in for the lottery?
I have two answers for that. I'll give you the easy one. No, and a statement. Shame on you for asking.
I understand why you would say that to me, and I wanted to preface it by saying it respectfully. I think it's my job to ask because I think people wonder.
No, it's ridiculous, but that's okay.
I know that you think it's ridiculous, but I don't think the question is ridiculous because I know people think that. I'm not saying that I do, but I think it's my job to ask you that.
Have you stopped beating your wife yet?
Oh!
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's fair.
Oh, this took a left turn?
Well, it's because, I mean, David Stern is trying to use the age-old, you know, thing of I can't answer a question that I'm proving a negative. You're like, so he's throwing it back at him, which is why I loved David Stern. I know people hated him. I loved him. He was so funny. Donna Rollins on the Breakfast Club. Okay, I don't know. Oh, isn't this just him laughing?
This book came about because my dad passed away about a year ago, and I had a box of what nigga, you laughing? Hold the fuck up, nigga. What's going on, son?
I don't know.
I don't even know if I can say this, and y'all gonna laugh at me.
I'm not gonna laugh at you. I promise you, we're not gonna laugh.
Mm-mm. When I grew up, right, and I remember.
No.
So, all right, that wasn't that good.
Mm-mm.
Nah, that's too long. DJ Vlad interview. All right.
In Chicago, Cook County Jail, they will knock you the fuck out.
When you
hit that ground, you will hear this. Get that butt! Motherfucker, get that. Nah, the nigga that's fighting to be, get the butt. Motherfucker gone. Pull your pants down. Pull your drawers down. Open up your ass and spin your ass. And now your ass a bitch.
Six people line up. It'll be niggas spinning your ass.
Niggas are spinning your ass. A nigga will grab a motherfucking soap. You got choke your ass out, nigga.
Six different saliva.
You got killed in this bitch. Your ass a bitch. Not in the whole jail, and no, it's going around.
What?
Man, folks, you got this ass spit in.
Disclaimer.
Niggas
are putting
ketchup.
I wasn't doing
mustard
that.
In your ass.
I wasn't involved that shit.
Eat flame hot.
I wasn't doing that
knock
shit.
Knock you out. Spin your ass. I saw niggas getting their ass spit in that bitch. Boy, you especially up it? In the...
What?
The way that I kept waiting on the dude in the yellow to stop talking.
And he did not.
It just kept
escalating. He made it worse.
That man said flaming hot Cheetos in your ass. Ketchup and mustard. At that point, is it even sexual? What is happening in the jails?
I lost the plot, and that was a lot. Woo, child.
Classic O.J. Simpson interview.
And you got me riled up. You got me started.
After we finished filming, O.J. said to me that he had a surprise for me, and I genuinely was surprised.
Just did you do it?
No, I didn't.
I think it was his idea of a joke.
Nope.
And this is it.
Is this artificial intelligence that they had back in the day?
This probably was a real
interview. This man really did a psycho. He opened the door with a knife and started stabbing like psycho, and he made the sound.
This is it.
You got
what?
He did it. I don't know this one.
My process.
Where'd you go to college?
I didn't go to college, but I turned it down.
Oh.
Yeah, I turned it down just to do this, just to grind from the rap.
So you had an opportunity to do the drumming thing.
Yeah, scholarship and everything.
Where at?
I think it was like in Jacksonville. Yeah, a big band in Jacksonville. It was a big college though. And they offered me like 15, some shit like 10 million or something like that. 5 million, something like that.
But college?
A scholarship.
Okay, but not $5 million. Mm-mm. They offered you $5 million to play the drums.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing here?
Like, what the fuck y'all, like, probably. You know what I'm saying? But I was so younger, like,
wait.
I didn't know what it was.
Are you sure they offered you $5 million?
To play turned it down.
The way this white man is trying to help him out.
Right, because, yeah, but he going, that shit don't work like that. They are not offering you maybe now the NIL deals, but not back, no.
They don't make caps that big.
Right.
That's happening right now.
Woo, child.
It was a scholarship, like, I had to go to school for this decade.
But you would get $5 million?
For a decade.
It was somewhere, it was in the millions, though.
Listen, man. It obviously worked out, because you have a gigantic pit bull.
Yeah.
A decade? You going to be a doctor?
I appreciate him bailing that man out, because what the fuck was that?
I have no idea.
Donald Sterling.
Oh, yes! One of my personal favorites.
What has he done? Can you tell me? Big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, yes, he's a business person. He's
got AIDS.
That might be the winner for me.
Yes, you know what? No matter how many times I hear this, I always hear Big Black Magic Johnson. Man has never said that phrase, but not every once. Time I hear it, that's what I hear in my head.
The racism was implied.
Yes, it was.
Mike Tyson, I don't even know which one this is, but he has a lot.
Just who I am. I sacrificed so much of my life. Can I at least get laid? You know what I mean? I've been robbed of most of my money. Can I at least get a blowjob? If I wish one of your guys had children, if I could kick them in their fucking head or stomp on their testicles so you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have, waking up every day.
Put it back on you that you can win this fight?
Are you talking out of turn?
No, I think we're all talking together.
I normally don't do interviews with women unless I fornicate with them.
What?
So you shouldn't talk anymore. Unless you wanna.
What?
People still think he innocent. Interesting. I think this is the Jim Rohn interview where he got beat up.
Jim, good to have you on the show.
Good to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Check that. Chris Everett, good to have you on the show.
You know what? You know, you've been calling me that for about the last 5 years.
About 2 years, actually, Chris.
Well, hey, you know what? Let me say one thing. In that game, how many sacks did I have that we came back and won?
How many sacks did
you
have?
Yeah, how many sacks?
Well, see, but this was back in 1989.
Okay, that was about six.
You may have even been Jim Everett back there, but somewhere along the way, Jim, you ceased being Jim and you became Chris.
Yeah, he looks super young.
Right? You got him in his 20s.
Yeah.
Early 30s.
Let me tell you a little secret. That, you know, we're sitting here right now, and if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett to my face one more time.
I already did it twice.
You call one more time, we better take a station break.
Well, it's a 5-minute segment, or a 5-segment show. We got a long way to go.
Well, we do.
We got a long way to go.
We do.
I'll get a couple segments out of you before.
Well, it's good to be here with you, though.
Well, it's good to see you,
too.
You
know, because you've been talking like this behind my back for a long time.
But now I said it right here.
Right, exactly.
Well, we got no problems
then. Well, I think that you probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris?
Oh, no! Oh, no!
Security was a little slow.
White man beef!
Security was a little slow.
When the dust had settled, Rome continued with the show minus Everett. For his part, Everett apologized, saying the frustrations of his time in Los Angeles came to a head with the repeated taunts of his host, and he lost it.
That man got a straight-up porno mustache.
Yeah. They got the Breakfast Club hot sauce one, but that's just niggas hating Hillary.
Right.
Gucci Mane had the whole Breakfast Club scared and dissed Jeezy. I was so fresh at it. All right, no, no, that. No. Due to knowledge, nigga. All right.
See. Michael Jordan cut his hair because of us.
Huh?
Michael Jordan.
So it's Fredro from Onyx. Of course, Onyx had the bald heads as the, like, their gimmick, their style.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say Onyx came along in, like, 90, at the earliest, 94?
Michael Jordan had been around.
Michael Jordan had been bald headed for a minute, way before Slam. But he's on Vlad TV, I guess, taking credit for MJ.
Michael Jordan cut his hair because of us.
Huh?
Michael Jordan.
That huh is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He said something so crazy. DJ Black did. He's like, what the fuck? On Earth 2? What's the timeline that here?
Cut his hair bald because of Onyx.
Because of Onyx. Get out of here.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
Do the knowledge. That's an all-time big joker nigga statement right there. Do the knowledge, nigga. That you can't refute do the knowledge, nigga. There's no way you can win. That's like someone saying, go Google it. You can't win the argument. You got to go do the knowledge and come back. And if it's something that's not what they said, they're going to make you do the knowledge again. There's no way to win. Who is this, Cameron? Who is this?
See, if you know anything about your chakras, your seven energies that go from the base.
Not Cameron. I don't know who this nigga is.
To your spine, up to your pineal gland.
Pineal gland, not pineal.
Up to the cerebrum brain.
Cerebrum brain. Okay. All right.
Somebody said this. Say this is Chingy. Whoever that is.
Chingy was. This is not Chingy. Chingy doing. This is what Chingy up to now. He don't even look the same.
Cerebrum brain. Then you would know when Moses split the Red Sea. And the water raised on this side, and the water raised on this side. He put the staff in the middle, which is the spine. And the kundalini energy is the pingala, the masculine energy, and the ida, the feminine energy, the electrical energy that goes up the chakras to ignite the pineal gland. Which, when Moses was at the top of the mountain, he spoke to a burning bush. If you know anything about your pineal gland, it's shaped like a burning bush. It's the light receptor that interacts with the universe that electricity comes down into, and you can talk to God through meditation. See.
Oh, no, I think I just got stupider.
Oh, he sounds like Damon Wayans as the inmate.
Yes! He does, don't he?
He sounds just like him. Oh, my God.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Oh my God, that was a good one now.
Oh, no.
I don't know this one or this podcast. It looks like the Bully and the Beast.
Touch shit before. None,
I've never shitted in a tissue before.
You touch shit every single day if you shit. Like, you don't wipe yourself? It got shit in the tissue when you wipe yourself.
You don't know how to get the... Why are you touching the shit? The tissue is for the shit.
That's what I'm saying. You grab shit all the time
in the
tissue.
You're not saying that. You don't. Yeah, you
You're
wipe.
You wipe and you grab the shit.
You don't grab. Why are you grabbing
hold
shit?
Hold on.
Do you got stuck in your ass while you're taking?
So you telling me that y'all just let the doodle fall in the toilet? Y'all don't catch it every time?
Yo.
I am about to leave, bro.
How do y'all take a shit?
Number one, how did this come up?
That's a great question.
Number two, child abuse, right? Like, because it's the parents that potty train you. Who potty trained him to catch his feces out of his butt before it hits the water in the toilet? Who? Because that's a parent thing. Like, if he didn't know no one else did this, that means he learned it at an age.
Yeah.
It's no, like, you don't teach yourself that. They didn't teach you the right way, and you said, I'm going to freestyle this.
I must have seen this shit wrong.
My nigga,
I've been catching my shit all these years.
Nah, I'm more disgusted than, like, I feel like I can't continue.
What are you talking about?
Y'all letting him touch stuff in the, you gotta watch this whole studio. You gotta burn it. You have to burn the studio and the podcast mics to the ground. Okay? There's no way he's touching shit. What if he need to say, I need to go to the bathroom? Y'all just let him come back, put the headphones on? Y'all just do that? Oh, no.
My stomach is hold turning.
So y'all just sit there and shit right, come right out? No way.
What happens if you got the runs or something like that? Yo, what do you do then?
That shit, you wash your hands. Why do you think people wash their hands?
Oh, no!
Yo, you shitting your hand, bro?
With tissue.
Oh, no, baby.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Paul Dang.
Yeah, I don't know some of these. Someone said this got it. What is this?
Some other footage with you on. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a little few words for Prodigy. Where all that came from?
Oh. Nigga, don't you got sickle cell? Yeah. Niggas talking crazy. That's what I'm trying to say. Whoever say something, but like I ain't buying here. Like you see me in the hood, my nigga. My niggas got them stadiums out here. Like I'm not out here playing. I don't make rap money. I ain't no shit. I can't even do official rap album. This nigga holding me back. So I got to do other means. But a lot of these niggas hating on the game, man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these niggas talking all crazy about the veil. And you know, I'm a good guy, man. I listen to everybody. I be chilling. You know what I'm saying? For niggas to be coming out, coming out they mouth with.
First of all, he's making me nervous how much looking around he doing.
Right. I'm like, is you going to get robbed or shot up? I'm getting scared.
He looking around like he in a place he not supposed to be.
Right.
Like, go to your block and do this interview.
Go to your area. Are you in the wrong area?
I feel like he wearing the wrong colors to be doing this interview.
Me too.
My name, like, you know, that's just some...
So why you feel like you... It seems like you a target right now, like everybody...
Because I'm hot. These niggas on my dick, they want attention, man. You know, all the attention is coming to me, and I'm not even asking for it. And niggas just want to get... Just cling on, like... You know what I'm saying? First niggas was screaming, wavy, and Al. Now niggas like, oh, and everybody want to be this. Well, come and fuck with Big of L if you want. Watch out, see how I end you niggas' career. I don't play. I'm ending niggas' careers, man.
But before that, you and Prodigy never had a problem.
Nah, I don't even know that nigga, dog. I don't mean knowing these rapper niggas, man. That nigga running around with sickle cells. I don't be playing with these niggas, man. Sickle cells ass nigga. So, man, with these skinny niggas, man. Nigga like a 130 pounds, man. Don't play with me, man.
I don't know. That one wasn't that good to me. Mm-mm. He just seems scared.
Yes, he does.
All right, we'll do a couple more. This is just funny to me. It's kind of funny that they don't got Cameron with Bill O'Reilly. That was one of the classics.
Of all time. Saying,
him, Dame Dash, you mad?
You mad?
A couple of days ago, how one-sided this fight's going to be. You know, I said some things that upset a few people. You know, I said this fight's going to be as one-sided as a gang rape. You know,
Jesus.
What? Jesus. No, sir.
That's not how you promote a fight, sir.
No, sir. You did not get media training, and there's a woman between them.
Right,
what is happening?
Interviewing them.
To a lot of people, but
men are terrible.
So one-sided. It couldn't be any more one-sided than a boxing match can be. He's not going to land any of his shots. I'm going to land all of mine, and he's going to be left unconscious on the floor.
You're sorry you said that, though, aren't you?
Listen, wait until you see the fight. When you see the fight...
I mean about the comments that you made.
I'm not embarrassed by it, no. I'm not embarrassed by it. I want people to tune in to see the most devastating knockout they've ever seen in their life.
Yeah, but you could have used a different I could have used.
I could have used, I'm going to beat him. It's going to be as one-sided as a gang beating. It's going to be one-sided. That's the harshest possible thing I could think of in life.
You see...
It also feels different with this nigga talking in a British accent. I don't know why it feel different, but it feel like extra, like he shouldn't have said it.
Did he get beat?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, it just feel extra like he shouldn't have said gang rape, because I feel like his British ass know way more words that would have worked.
I don't think that's fair.
I think that's years of conditioning and
yes.
And white supremacy that made me think because he got an accent, he should know some other words. But, nigga, you got to know some other words.
I've always admired you, and I really have. But I really thought that was very disrespectful.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I said it's going to be as one-sided.
I know, but...
He think it's because she don't understand.
Mm-mm.
He won't let it go.
She completely understands what you just said, sir.
He want to promote the fight, but he don't want to say I'm sorry because he playing this character of an asshole. Man, he could have just got broke character. Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm just promoting the fight. You right. Anyway, I'm going to
whoop
his ass.
Is the fighter in white the other person, I'm assuming?
I'm assuming he ain't said a word. Ain't had to. Dude beating himself.
Ain't he though? He whooping his own ass.
He beating his ass during his interview.
Once I wasn't saying I'm going to gang rape him. I wasn't condoning it.
Oh, no! He doubled down, didn't he?
This is so good. He thinks he's going to explain it. He thinks she don't understand. Oh, man. He was like, no, I didn't say I'm gonna be a rapist. No, I said it will be as if a rape is occurring to my opponent by a gang of people, be they women or men. I'm not being offensive. That's
I'm
what
not
I was
discriminating.
Saying. That's how much of a knockout I'm going to be doing. He's just doubling down.
Going to gang rape him. I wasn't condoning anything. I said it was going to be as one-sided. This fight is going to be that one-sided. As one-sided.
It's not going to be one-sided.
It is going to be one-sided.
It's not going to be a one-sided fight. This is what people need
you're
to realize.
You're here to stop it being one-sided.
It's not going to be a mismatch. You know, people think he's going to walk through and annihilate me.
It's going to be as one-sided.
I'm such an asshole. If I would have been the other boxer, now he's doing the right thing trying to keep, because you're trying to promote the fight, so you need to sound like it's animosity.
Right.
I'm such an asshole, I wouldn't have said shit. I would let him drown.
He'd have hung himself.
They would have looked over to me, Rod, what you think about the fight? I think he needs to explain what he means by gang rape one more time.
Yes, sir.
Sided as anybody's ever seen.
Okay.
In the
I've told you before, you were going to be in the fight of your life.
You will be
Rod, what do you think about it? I think I support women. I think sexual assault is a serious issue.
Right, and it's wrong.
Whether it be one person or a gang.
It should always be consent.
I believe consensual is the way to go. Mm-hmm. No, but what do you think about the fight? I just think that I would not have phrased it that way if I was him, and I couldn't root for anyone like that.
Okay, you'll be knocked out.
Okay.
You need to be stretched out of the ring, trust me.
It's going
to
be the fight of his life.
As one-sided as you've ever seen.
Okay, Shawshank Redemption. All right. Okay. What you gonna pull out a pin? You gonna pull out a pinball game, motherfucker? oh man. What is this? Big Tigger? Who is this? On 60 Minutes.
If there is a serial killer living next door to you, though, and you know that person is, you know, killing people. Would you be a snitch if you called police and told them?
If I knew the serial killer was living next door to me?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't call and tell anybody on them, but I'd probably move. Like, I'm not going to be around because I don't need to be living around serial killers, but I'm not going to call and be like, put the signs up like, yo, you know, the serial killer's in 4E.
It's not your responsibility.
Exactly.
Is there any situation where you think it's okay to talk to the police?
Yeah, definitely. Say hello, how you feel, everything all right?
If there...
That must have been during the height of not stop snitching. It's the only thing I can imagine. Oh, of course, the classic.
I don't believe in that culture.
Of course, the classic, Ray J.
Smash the shit out that bitch ass.
Now, we're going to try to get Fab on the line and squash
him. Get Fab on the line right now. I'll smack the shit out that nigga.
You then can't smack him over the phone, Ray.
On the phone that like niggas, and they going to rape that nigga. Bring that nigga over and stick it in that nigga boot.
All right, oh my God.
That was an all-time classic interview. I still remember that.
Oh, no. Live on the radio.
That we don't quote that part. We quote "Live how you want to live, love how." Because he tried to clean it up with when they was like, "Oh, that sounds kind of homophobic." He's like, "Nah, live how you want to live, love who you want to love."
Ray J.
Oh man, that was a wild day.
Boy, out of all these, black men's is the funniest, and black men's is the worst.
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh, y'all been on both extremes.
A lot of sexual assault going on.
What do you think about all the ass out here? Do you eat it?
What?
I eat ass. You eat ass? Look at that ass. Don't you just want to eat it?
Why does he have a Make America Great Again hat on?
I don't know.
What kind of Negro is this?
Does his shirt say ass something?
Ass around? What? Ask about me?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Come eat ass with me tonight. You're not afraid to eat ass, are you? Okay. So we're eating ass tonight.
It says ask about something like a party or
ask
something.
Ask about the party.
Yeah.
Curfew's at 8. Meet me at 8:30. What do you think?
The way he looking at him, what is happening here?
That zoom in.
Man, on that face.
That zoom in was so good.
What are What is happening?
All right, I'm gonna stop. I could do this all day. These are so good. Oh man, thank you to social media for this. Sometimes it's good stuff. Okay,
sometimes it is.
So I can't believe no one posted "Listen, Linda" as one of the wildest interviews, because she was interviewing that little girl.
I think, and I don't know if it was an interview, one of the, oh, what about the all-time classic, we got a whole rap out of that song, "He Climbing in the Window"?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm surprised that one wasn't on there.
Yeah,
and the one where they're doing the interview and a little girl in the background doing this.
Yeah, but that wasn't really an interview. That was just a news reporter doing a
okay, like
the weather or something. All right, that was a lot of fun. Let's get into the last thing. Let's do some guess the race, and we'll go ahead and get everybody out of here for today's show.
What time is it?
It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race.
A man is charged with vile acts at a Safeway market. A supermarket employee pleasured himself onto produce and other unsealed merchandise, according to the Colorado police, who say that the videos of the vile activity were found during a recent search of the man's residence. Mm-hmm. He was busted last month.
So he filmed himself?
Yeah. Stephen Masalta, 32, was busted last month on charges that he masturbated outside the numerous coffee shops and businesses in the Fort Collins area. At the time of his arrest, cops executed a search warrant at his home and seized electronic devices containing incriminating video evidence. The catch, which investigators are still reviewing, resulted this week in additional misdemeanor and felony counts being filed against him. Man, that means somebody picked up that corn or whatever. Like,
that's
whatever
why they
produce.
Tell you to wash it off.
Yeah, that's why they say get home, wash it.
You damn care what it is. They'll be like, wash it.
Yeah. So then he's being held in the Larimer County lockup on $25,000 bond, scheduled for a court appearance March 22nd. They determined he was employed at the Safeway store in Fort Collins for a brief period of time. The videos show him masturbating onto fruits, vegetables, and baked goods.
Goddamn.
You did not do the deli bread like this.
So he really did glaze the icing on the cake then, huh?
All over them honey buns.
Yes.
Let's see. The clips have allowed detectives to identify alleged victims, some of whom are believed to be minors. He has been charged with 16 attempted sexual assault on a child counts. As the probe of him continues, police anticipate additional charges. So guess the race of Mr. Stephen Masalta.
White.
Karen is going to go with white on this one. Yuck. Is yuck a race? I feel like yuck should be a race. And he was out of pocket for that shit.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, him or the man sitting on by the breezeway going to the new beach yesterday.
Right. White is the stuff he sprayed on that produce and baked goods.
Oh, no.
Now it's organic white. Nasty ass white. The correct answer is white.
I'm about to say, it's all natural now.
Mm-hmm. That's him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, disgusting. And then that's one of those crimes I'll never understand. Either one of those type of people that know what that's about or you don't.
Right. You either about that life or you not.
But let's keep it sexual in public places.
Okay.
And let's keep it around food, okay? A couple was arrested Saturday afternoon for having sex on the sidewalk in front of a Popeyes in plain view of passing motorists.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Two strokes and a biscuit. Responding to a report.
They were trying to be spicy like that chicken.
Mm-hmm. Say you want to spice things up.
Right?
It's a 15-minute wait on spicy. You know what it is. The sheriff's located two suspects trysting on a patch of grass.
Not trysting.
Across from the Vero Beach restaurant. According to the arrest, a cop spotted Arnold Mackey, 70, making a thrusting motion with the while on top of April White, 44. He's 70. She's 44.
Young enough to be his daughter.
Mm-hmm. And they are different races, not the same race.
Okay.
When confronted by Deputy Eric Brashears around 2 p.m., they began adjusting their shorts. Mackey, the cop noted, appeared flustered and was unable to fully pull his shorts up, which left his penis fully exposed to oncoming traffic. Oncoming, all right. And he was coming on the traffic. Claiming she had done nothing wrong while reportedly struggling with the cop and calling him a F-word and other obscenities as he sought to restrain her, White, who smelled of alcohol, was escorted to the ground where police found four empty bottles of vodka and an unopened bottle of rum.
Oh, they were getting lit.
A motorist who called 911 after spotting the duo said he did a double take because he couldn't believe what he was seeing. The female had her legs spread open and the male was inserting his fingers inside the female in full view of traffic. After being read his rights, Mackey reportedly
said, "They ain't going to be out of no snitch community. I guess they snitching."
Nope.
I had to call the police too, baby. Don't feel bad.
Right. Mackey reportedly said it was not his intention to expose himself and that he had asked White to leave the side of the road, but she refused. Recognizing that he was in plain view of passing motorists, he said he would apologize to the judge. Well, he is 70, so he got a little more life knowledge about him, you know? He's from an old day, back when you fuck somebody on a public highway, but you knew to apologize to the judge.
You fuck him behind the bush on the backside of the building, not in public view.
You did. You fuck somebody in a plain view of every family driving on the I-77, and you knew to have the class and the temerity to issue a full-throated apology. That's the days that I'm missing. Back before iPhones and theaters, and back before everybody was, you know, driving cars and before social media, back when we knew the recipes, okay? When we looked each other in the eye when we masturbated on the produce in the grocery store.
Oh, no! Because
we were neighbors, and that was the community, and we were in it together. Now these damn kids, these days, they just want to get jailed off in the middle of the street and not even apologize to nobody. Want to call the cops slurs and not apologize. That's sad. Sad. That's what we had as a society, y'all. Splackavelli. Both White and Mackey were arrested for exposure of sexual organs, a misdemeanor. While White was also charged with resisting arrest and disorderly intoxication, they both remain behind bars, where White's bond set at $7,000, while Mackey needs to post $5,000. And I think Mackey is the older one, and he sounded like he was sorry. So that's probably why he has a lower bail. Karen, guess the race.
You said they're different races?
Different races. You have Arnold Mackey and April White.
Black and white.
Which one? The man, the woman?
Mackey is black and White is white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Oh, this is going to be all over the place. They probably just saying, they just saying white. They didn't care that I said the race was wrong. Okay, black, so that's not. All right, you know what? Karen, you're right, okay? Chat room's going to be all over the place. I think everybody forgot I said at the beginning they were different races. but yeah, that's them. And he does look old enough to be her grandfather. That is a wild. Listen, sex and money will do a lot of things for folks.
Apparently so.
Let's go to the bonus round.
What time is it? That's a bitch was white.
I ain't racist. How can I be racist about anybody or anything in my life? How can I?
Call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
It's time to get
gold
the race.
Feet, gold chain it's wearing, fried chicken race. And biscuit eating monkey, eight baboon, big thigh, fast running, high jumping, spear chucking, 360 degree basketball.
Let's keep it about food and sex, Karen. A Chipotle manager exposed himself and masturbated in the dining room of a Pennsylvania restaurant.
Oh, no.
According to police, who say that a female victim felt three squirts of liquid hit her jeans when she got up to leave the table where the man had allegedly been pleasuring himself.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. And he's a manager. Like, it's people that work for him in that Chipotle. Following March 1st incident at the eatery in Camp Hill, a Harrisburg suburb, two women went to the local police to report a sexual assault. The women, one of whom was a former Chipotle employee, detailed an encounter with Kaisine Ransom, the 26-year-old manager. The duo told cops they were seated at a communal table talking with Ransom and other employees when Ransom began doing something with his hands down with his crotch. Oh, so he's sitting across from him talking and jacking his dick while he's talking to him.
Oh, gross.
One of the women says she saw Ransom touching his penis outside his pants, recalling she was in denial and looked away. The woman added that Ransom grabbed numerous napkins and placed them down by his penis and subsequently brought one napkin up from his crotch and placed it on the table. The napkin was sticking to itself. So fucking gross.
That, and they got video cameras everywhere. So this is
That's the real problem, the video cameras.
I mean, I know he don't care, but you know.
See, Karen, I come from a time back before people were walking on the subway and then putting their fucking headphones on and looking in their phones and the little tablets and their iPads and not talking to each other. Okay? I come from a time when you used to sit across from a man, look him directly in his eyes, pull your penis out, and start masturbating. And you had the politeness to know to get the napkins and wipe it up yourself. That's what we do. And then what we do, we didn't just throw it on the ground. No, you wait to the next stop and you put it in the trash like a fucking gentleman. These are the days that I remember, and I'm disgusted that this fool left his napkin sitting on top of the table. What an idiot. You know what I mean, Karen? What happened to manners? What happened to the America we grew up in?
I don't know.
Exactly. The second woman reported noticing him moving his hands a lot down around his penis, and she said she could see him jacking off. She just said jacking off. Wow. Grow up. When the former Chipotle worker got up to leave the table, she felt three squirts of liquid hit her jeans. During police questioning, Ransom reportedly confirmed the incident in verbal and written statements. Right. This kid, well, he's kind of old school. You don't make the cops run around and do a lot of effort. You just tell them, yes, you got me. I'm the sperm bandit.
I did it.
He was charged yesterday with multiple misdemeanors, including indecent assault, open lewdness, and indecent. Only multiple misdemeanors? That's it? He was suspended from Chipotle. Suspended. Well, listen. We don't want to get carried away.
Not fucking fired. I would not want him to be my boss. The fuck is this?
He'll be back in 2 weeks pending an investigation.
He going to get 2 weeks pay.
Suspended, nigga. It's not the police force. It's fucking Chipotle. You're fired.
Right, and move somebody else up to that position and work them to death.
Who y'all gonna call? Internal affairs. It's over.
Internal affairs for Chipotle.
You jack off at Chipotle. That's a job. That's a rap on Chipotle.
Come on.
That's it. You don't get to come back.
You do not get to come back.
Times is hard out there for the hiring right now. They out here like, listen. I mean, we could fire him, but where are we going to find another manager?
Nobody else is willing to close.
I mean, listen, I just...
Got regional managers pissed. Fuck, now I got to go over there and cover his goddamn stove because he want to fucking jack off. Jack off at the house, son.
I'm going to be honest with you. They're all jacking off in there. It's just, I don't know how they caught him. he was suspended. If he's not already fired, he's expected to be fired. Ransom is pictured above wearing Chipotle uniform in a selfie apparently snapped in the restaurant's bathroom. Karen, guess the race.
What was his name?
Kaisine Ransom.
Black.
Karen's going with black for this. So you think he was pulling out the big back Chipotle on him?
Yes, they could see it. The fuck is this?
Let's see. And that's why I always have my burrito wrapped, okay? Because I practice safe Chipotle. Keep it wrapped at all times. Let's see. White as those three drips he dropped on them jeans. This is gross. White. What, Miss Barnes? Wow. Okay, I didn't know you were a prude. This is a sex positive podcast, and you can see your way out. All right.
Nope. I'm a Miss Barnes. Mm-mm.
Wow. Okay.
I'll just be uptight then.
We just draw the line at a little sperm on the jeans. Mm-hmm.
Especially with no consent. When it's unwanted, no thank you.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's going to be a lopsided as that fight. I'm too disgusted to think of a creative answer. White, still saying he's white. Blanco. I think, did everyone say white? I don't think anyone said black. Karen's the only one that said black. Mm-hmm. And the correct answer is Karen. Mm-hmm. Golf clap. You got it right. He's black. As for the rest of y'all.
Man. I mean, I don't know no white man with that name. And every time I think I physically see his dick.
His selfie is wild, too.
He look young. How old
is he? 26. But it's, I mean, he look like he shouldn't be in charge of anything. He just has he has the look of a Negro who should never be in charge of anything.
Not anybody.
Or anyone.
Right. No person, no nothing. You can't be in charge.
He looks like he jacks off at tables while you're talking to him, okay?
No, thank you.
He's got a look about him. All right, let's go to sword ratchetness and we'll get out of here, everybody. A Delaware County father sentenced for cutting child's eye with sword.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they'll cut their own child's eye, what you think they'll do to you, America?
Chad, I don't care nothing about you.
A Delaware County father whose careless handling of a sword resulted in an eye injury for his child has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. Neil Leroy Smith of Eaton was sentenced last week to by Delaware County court judge, Delaware Circuit Court Judge Kimberly Dowling, after he pleaded guilty to neglect of a dependent resulting in serious bodily injury, which is a level 3 felony that can carry up to 16 years in prison.
Ooh, level 3? 1, 2, 3.
According to an affidavit, he was in a rage while involved in a dispute with his girlfriend, who took his two children outside and began he began swinging a katana, a sword around. What kind of Napoleon Dynamite shit is that? You just, I'm in a rage. I'm going to go grab my sword around my children. At some point, the court document said he threw the sword and it struck one of his children in the left eye, cutting her eyelid and eyeball, causing deep lacerations.
Woo!
Imagine that's your daddy.
Right.
For the rest of your life, your eye fucked up because this dude. The young victim was taken to the hospital and later transferred to another hospital for children. She underwent emergency surgery. The girl's mother told investigators her daughter might lose sight in her eye. When charges were filed against John in April 2021, it was alleged the victim continues to suffer from injuries inflicted by Neil Smith. The victim reported when Smith told medical staff at the IU Health Ball Memorial Hospital that he had accidentally struck her in the eye with a stick. He was not telling the truth. Yeah, he hit her with a sword.
Right. A whole sharp-ass sword. There's a difference.
Then he left without explanation while his daughter was being treated because the police was coming.
What?
Yeah, that's why he left, because he knew the jig was up. He lied already. That's not something. They report those injuries to police.
Yes.
Oh, I accidentally hit my kid with a stick. Okay, cool. Sounds great. Can you wait in the lobby and maybe don't leave the premises?
Mm-hmm. Just to ask you some questions, sir.
A related charge pending against him, battery resulting in bodily injury to a person under the age of 14, a level 5 felony with a maximum of 6 years, was dismissed. He's given credit for 100 days served. He already spent 125 days also on electronic home detention. And he also pleaded guilty to domestic battery, neglect of a dependent, and strangulation, resulting in a 1-year suspended sentence. Those charges have been filed in January. So, yeah. Oh, my God. He had prior convictions for residential entry, invasion of privacy, theft, resisting law enforcement, and driving while intoxicated. So, he's a real winner.
No. Breaking all the rules.
Exactly who we want to have guns in America. All right, everybody. That's it.
No, we don't.
For this episode. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. We appreciate y'all.
We do.
And all that y'all, you know, said in the chat and stuff. Y'all made it fun.
Yes.
And, you know, we always love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what has he done? Can you tell me? Big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS.
All right. We'll be back. See you hopefully tomorrow. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.